Welcome to the Three Creeks Church Podcast. We're a church in Gahanna, Ohio that exists to help people find and follow God. We hope this message encourages you, challenges you, and helps you discover how much God really loves you.
Well, here we are. Message number 7. In a series that we called 7, focusing on the 7 things that Jesus said while he was on the cross. If you remember, for the past 6 weeks or so here at Three Creeks at least, we've been walking through these things that Jesus said on the cross. The first thing he said is he looked down at the Roman guards that were killing him, and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then he looked at one of the guys that was being crucified next to him, and he said, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." And then he looked down again at those Roman guards, and he said, "I'm thirsty." And then he looked over at his mom and his best friend, John, and he said, "Mom, John is now your son, and John, my mom is now your mom. You guys take care of each other." And then he looked at God and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then right before he breathed his last, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And tonight is number 7. Anne read it a few minutes ago. Jesus, it says, said, "It is finished." And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished. But he didn't say it in English. Jesus, I think, spoke 3 languages. He spoke Hebrew, Aramaic, and likely he also spoke Greek. And I don't know what language that he said this in, but John records it in the book of John in the language of Greek, and he writes the word that's translated to "it is finished." It's the word tetelestai. Tetelestai. It's spelled like this. Tetelestai. And so, hey, before I keep going, here's what I want to try to do. If you're a jellyfish and you've got one of those clipboards and you've got your new marker and you've got a fresh piece of paper, a nice clean one with nothing else on it. In fact, if you went ahead and you are just a really good artist and you've already colored on all of them, if you raise your hand really high, my friend Aaron and my friend Olivia said they'd come by and give you a new piece. So if you need a new piece, go ahead and raise your hand real high. Okay, one right there. Okay. Great. So get a brand new piece right on top. And jellyfish, go ahead. I want you to just write tetelestai right across the top, just like this. Tetelestai. And after you're done writing that word, tetelestai, which again in Greek means "it is finished," I want you to draw a line right under that word, just like that. Draw a line so that that word's kind of up at the top and it's sectioned off from the rest of your paper. And then after you've written that word and you have that line across, go ahead and draw another line straight down, just like that. And you've only got one more line. We're going to set ourselves up one more line across so that you're going to kind of have 4 boxes just like that. You guys see that? Awesome. We'll leave that up just there for a second. If you want to, jellyfish, last instructions, you can actually number your boxes. 1, 2, 3, and 4. You don't have to, but if it would help you to kind of keep an order, you can draw 1, 2, 3, 4, just like that. We'll leave that up there just in case you're still working on it. The word tetelestai was not a word that was used in common everyday language, but it was a word that everybody would have recognized. It was a word that was reserved for certain people in certain professions. It was understood but not commonly used. I was trying to think of a word in English that would be like it, and I thought of the word diagnostics. We don't say it all the time, but if I say diagnostics, you probably think something's wrong with your car, or something's wrong with your computer, or something's wrong with your body. You're getting some medical diagnostic test done. You see what I'm saying? So we don't always use that word, but we know that that word brings to mind some pictures. The same for tetelestai. And tetelestai was a word that was used specifically by four different people, four different professions. They would say this word and people would immediately understand what they meant. The first person that would have used the word tetelestai was the high priest. So Jellyfish, for the next 2 minutes or so, you guys actually can draw a picture in box number one of what you think a high priest might look like. I stole that picture, and you can copy that one if you want. In the Old Testament system, there was a big system of sacrifices, and there was a holiday that was called the Day of Atonement for Jews. Big holiday, very important. And this was the day that the high priest would go into an area where they would make sacrifices. And on this particular day, there would be one sacrifice that would be made for all of the sins for all of Israel. And the high priest would go into this place. He would make the sacrifice. He would kill the animal. And he would come out. There'd be a big crowd that would be waiting outside of the area where the sacrifice was made. And the high priest would come out. And the word that he would say, tetelestai. Tetelestai. And the people knew that the lamb had been sacrificed as a symbol. And all of their sins were covered for that year. And so when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, when he said tetelestai, what he was saying is that I am the final perfect sacrifice. No more sacrifices are needed. It is totally finished. I have been sacrificed for you. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, but when this priest, talking about Jesus, had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus was that all time, one last time sacrifice for sins. The first person who would use the word tetelestai was the high priest after the sacrifice had been made. The second type of person that would use the word tetelestai was an artist. There were artists back in Jesus' day. There were painters and people that liked to draw, people that liked to form things with their hands. Artists, you could even say, were designing buildings and still are. And Jellyfish, for the next 2 or 3 minutes, if you're an artist and you like to draw, go ahead and box number two, just draw a picture of your favorite animal. When an artist was complete with the work, when there was no more work to be done. You know how like when an artist finishes drawing a picture, there's maybe like some kind of white blanket over top of it, or maybe there's a banner out in front of it that blocks you from seeing it. When an artist was done, when there were no more strokes to be added to the painting, there were no more tweaks to be made to the clay, there was nothing more to be added, when it was done, when there were no more adjustments necessary, the artist would rip off the covering sheet, and he would say, or she would say, tetelestai, it's done. The masterpiece is complete.
Here's what I found.
No. The artist would say, it's done. No more work necessary to make this thing any better. Complete. The masterpiece is complete. When Jesus came and he was walking around, a lot of people asked him, why are you here? Why? What did you come for? What is the purpose of all of this? Jesus said in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. And so when Jesus said tetelestai, what he was saying is that my work is complete. Nothing else needs to be done. The masterpiece is complete. Here's the third one, and probably, I think, the most common one. It brought to mind the picture of a banker or a debt collector. And so kids, here's a picture. I thought maybe you guys could draw a picture of a bank in box number three. Just like today, people in the Bible took out loans. They borrowed money, and then over time they would pay back the loan, perhaps with interest. Sometimes the loan would be paid back within a matter of days. Sometimes it would take years, just like our mortgages today. And it was a custom at the time that when you went and made your very last payment, when you slid across the table, your last coins, the last bills, whatever it took to to meet, to fulfill the whole debt and pay the whole thing off. The banker or the debt collector would give you a receipt, but before they gave you the last receipt, they would take a stamp. Guess what was on the stamp? The word tetelestai. Boom. And they would give you the receipt, tetelestai. It is finished. It's over. No more debt is owed. The final payment has been paid. And so when Jesus Christ was on the cross and he said, tetelestai, what he was saying to all of us is that there's no more payment that is owed. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. And that's bad news for a guy like me who has sinned a couple times. A couple times. And man, for me, the wages of that, the payment for that is that I owe death. And Jesus was up on the cross saying, it is finished. Stamp that receipt. No more debt is owed. And then here's the last one. Kids, you got one more box, right? Box number four. I want you guys to draw a picture of a runner. Of a runner. I actually told my daughter Cooper that we were going to get to draw four pictures, and that the third one was going to be a bank, and the fourth one was going to be a runner. And she said, ooh, I'm going to draw a runner running away from the bank with a bunch of money. So you can do that if you want to. But I want you to try and draw a runner. Anybody here ever ran a 5K? Or a half marathon, maybe? Or maybe some of you guys have been bold enough to run a full marathon. At the end of that race, you know what that feels like. Those of you that have done it, you run through the finish line, you grab your banana, your legs are all wobbly, you get a water, you get one of those silver blankets that you've never worn before in your life, but apparently that's going to help at that moment, I don't know. And you just kind of sit there, and maybe, you know, maybe some family members or a friend came to cheer you on, and you're talking after the race, and someone says, how was it? How did it go? A lot of times what I hear in the post-race area, I'm just glad it's over. It is finished. It's behind me. Tetelestai. It's finished. I'm done. But if you think about that, when the runner is saying that after they've run through the finish line, they're not saying that with a sense of sadness. They're saying that with a sense of accomplishment, like I did it. It's over. It's behind me. I'm just really glad it's done. And when Jesus was on the cross and he said, tetelestai, it is finished. Sometimes I've had this picture of Jesus like almost like he's sad when he said that. But that's actually not the picture. See, when he said tetelestai, what he was saying is, I won. I finished. This cup that had to be poured out on me, I took it. It's behind me. It is finished. And so when you think of Jesus on the cross and when you think of him saying, tetelestai, it is finished. I just almost want you to picture him with a little smirk on his face. Like, man, it's finished. It's finished. Like the high priest, no more sacrifices are necessary. Like the artist, the masterpiece is complete. Like the banker, the debt has been fully paid. And like the runner, it's over. I made it. It is finished. That's why we call today Good Friday. Because all of those things are very, very good news for us. It's very good news for us that Jesus did this for us. We're going to take communion. We've got a spread down here. And kids, by the way, I just got to tell you, you can keep that picture if you want. But I'm also in the business of collecting cool pictures. So if you want to give it to me after church, I would love to see it. I'd at least love to see it, even if you want to keep it. Thank you guys for doing that. We're going to take communion, and I want all the jellyfish, if you're cool with it, to look at me, because I think this is really important. I want to explain this to you guys. The night before Jesus was on the cross, said all seven of these things, including tetelestai. Jesus was with his 12 closest friends having dinner. And when he sat there with his friends, he took some bread and he took a cup and he passed it around. The first thing he did was he broke the bread and he said, this is my body being given for you. And he took the cup and he said, this is my blood being shed for you. And then he said these very, very important words. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Peter was there. John was there. Bartholomew was there. All of Jesus' 12 key men, all of his friends were right there. And Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Now, I don't think those guys really knew exactly what was about to happen. But ever since that night, people that follow Jesus have been taking communion just like that, and they've been doing it in remembrance of Jesus. For 2,000 years, people that follow Jesus have been taking communion to remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so that's what we're going to do tonight. We're just going to get to enjoy this sacrament, this tradition of remembering Christ. And so what I want you guys to do here in a second is you guys can come down the aisles, maybe this way, just so that we don't have a big thing down here. You'll come kind of along the stage. You can take a piece of the bread. It's all gluten-free. Come on, somebody. And then you can dip it in the juice. And then you'll kind of go back by the seats, back to your chair. And then you guys can take it whenever you're ready. Here's what I'd love for you to think about before you take it. Before you put it in your mouth, before you rush through that part of it, just sit there for a second. And especially those that have been around for a couple weeks of this series at least, I want you to just think, what does God want me to remember from this series? What does God want me to remember for the rest of my life about what He said on the cross? Don't sprint through this. Remember this. Remember this. Seal that memory in your minds. Keep it with you forever. What we're about to do here as we take communion, this is really for Christians. This is for people who follow Jesus. And so if that is not a decision that you've made, this is really a time for you to just sit there and reflect and consider your life and consider Jesus. Maybe consider the things that are stopping you from making a decision to follow Him. But this is reserved for Christians. It's something that we get to do. It means so much to someone. And if you haven't made that decision, man, I'd say just save it for when you do. And then the last question I think I should answer is, with all these kids in the room, what are we going to do? Are we going to let them? Are we not? You know? I've got an 8-year-old who has been baptized. She follows Jesus. I've got a couple other kids that are kind of in that process. And I was really thinking about, you know, what am I going to say when everybody's coming up here? And obviously this is every individual family's decision. Here's where I stand as a dad and as the pastor of this church, man. I am not going to stand in the way of a step of faith that my kid wants to take. I'm not going to be the one that says, hang on, this is for the big people. I'm going to be a person and a pastor that says, come on, son, come on, daughter, step into this. I know that you don't understand all that this means, but if you want to take the step of faith, I will cheer you on as a dad. Remember, a lot of kids tried to come up and follow Jesus. What the disciples do? Oh, what? This is for the big people, you know? Oh, get the kids back. What'd Jesus say? Get out of here. Get the kids in here. The kingdom of God belongs to these. Come on in. And he spoke right to them. And so listen, this is a family decision. I get that, and I respect that, and I honor that. But man, if your child wants to say, man, I want to take a step, I want to do this, then I would say, let's go. Come on. Maybe this sparks some of the greatest spiritual conversations you've ever had with your kids. Maybe later tonight, maybe tomorrow, maybe on Easter Sunday. Maybe this is the weekend that you get to pray with your kid, and you get to say, hey, do you want to make a decision to follow Jesus? And they say, I'm in. That would be the greatest weekend ever in my book. So let me pray, and then I'll invite you guys to take communion. Father, we're not going to do this quickly. We're not going to do it flippantly. We're not going to do it thoughtlessly. We're not going to do it thinking about what's after this. We're right here. We are right here. Father, would you bring to mind what you want us to remember forever? Father, I pray for the parents in the room right now as they take on this role of being a disciple and a shepherd of their kids. Lord, that you would give them great wisdom in knowing how to navigate these conversations. I pray for these kids in the room. I pray that they would grow to know you, to know what you've done for them, and that they would follow you for the rest of their life. Lord, we give these next moments entirely to you. You've been so good to us. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Three Creeks Church podcast. To find out more about our church, to give online, or to attend a service, visit threecreekschurch.com. Thank you.